Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Jeff Passan, who follows this stuff for a living. Sorry about that, Jeff. I know you'd rather be covering baseball, but where do we stand right now? Do you think this gets them any closer?
No, it doesn't get them much closer at all. And there's a little bit of hope, Michael, in the idea that, number one, the players offered expanded playoffs for 2 years. Remember, when the expanded playoff idea was first reported by Joel Sherman back in February, players came out and said, we don't want to do that. Now they're saying not only will we accept it for this year, but we would look at it for 2021 as well. On top of that, is the idea of deferrals. And this is something, Michael, that we've been talking about for a while now, a potential path toward a compromise. If owners are cash poor right now, players can say to them, fine, we will take our money in the future and we can decide on an interest rate that makes us whole. But essentially, we're going to be allowing you to keep some of the cash that you have or that you're missing from the gate this year and keep your business afloat that way, keep people employed, pay minor leaguers, et cetera, et cetera. They also propose that in the form of, if the playoffs don't happen this year, then it's only $100 million taken from the guys who are making $10 million plus. So it was really a small amount of money deferred under conditions. But the fact that they are at least acknowledging that deferrals may be part of a solution is a reasonable step forward.
But with no real trust on the player's side of the owners, then why would they trust how much would be deferred and how long it would take for them to be able to recoup their money?
Listen, Don, you brought up the most important word in this entire conversation here.
It's a very smart guy, Don.
I just got off the phone with somebody who I think he put it really well. How can you talk money with someone you don't trust? Seriously, money is a difficult enough conversation as it is. We all have friends who have lost marriages because of money. We all know people who have lost everything they have because of an overemphasis on money. And now you're telling me that two sides that have distrust and disrespect for one another as deep as the Major League Baseball Players Association and MLB do are going to figure out how to split up money. It's an incredibly hard thing. And as this person said, we might just have to let it die in order to make it live. And I hope that's not the case. I hope it doesn't come down to that. I try to be optimistic because in my heart of hearts, I actually believe that baseball is much, 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 much better off both in the short term and the long term playing games this year than it is without games. But, you know, the skepticism across baseball is at a high point right now, and all I can do personally is look back on history and recognize that labor deals come together at the very last minute, and that if there is one that's going to be had here, that's how it's going to happen, and that last minute is fast approaching.
Now, Buster Olney was on with us on Friday and said that he's heard there are six owners that would rather not play. Are you hearing that same number now? It gets dangerous if you could get it to eight owners that don't want to play.
Yeah, Michael, I've heard four, I've heard six, I've heard eight, I've heard as many as 10. We're at that point now where I don't know what the actual number is to believe. And listen, I also don't know whether these owners don't want to play if it's at a full pro rata or if it's at a particular percentage of pay that the players are going to be getting. You know, I think each owner has a different threshold that he's gonna look at and say, this would be okay, this would not. So I have a difficult time lumping them all in together, but there, as Buster has reported, and as I said last week, unquestionably, there are some people in ownership who believe that baseball would be better off not playing this year than otherwise. And I don't get that perspective and that logic other than to think that these owners are going to be in for the long haul, whereas players have 3 to 5 year careers, and they are taking advantage of the players who have a finite amount of time. They're taking advantage of the players who have a collective bargaining agreement that's up at the end of the year to try and wrest as much power and leverage and control as they can from them under these circumstances. And, you know, I just sit here and think, yes, people who own baseball teams certainly deserve to have a portion of the decision-making. They are the ones who are paying the money and the salary to the players. But in the end, guys, baseball is about the players. It just is. Baseball is about the people who are going out there and doing incredible things on a daily basis. And I'm sorry, anybody who wants to sit here and say baseball is about the people who own the teams, like, seriously, just go lock yourself into a closet and don't come out.
I love it.
Well, but regardless of how we feel about it, though, my fear, and talk me off the ledge for this, is that the owners have cap envy. The other sports have it. And how did hockey get it? They canceled a season. How did football get it? By squashing and pulverizing their union when players crossed the picket line back in the day. So if they are willing to sacrifice a season to get what they want, what better season to sacrifice than one that has gone anyway?
But that, Don, presupposes the idea that canceling the season is going to get them the salary cap, which I just don't think is a realistic possibility. There are enough ways for players to get money right now that did not exist in the past that will allow them to tide over whatever labor stoppage there is, if indeed there is one. There are enough players right now, you know, the younger ones were the ones who were struggling the most in past labor stoppages. If you're a good young player right now, you can go out and get $1 million, you know, snap of a finger. You got to sell a portion of your future earnings, and you're selling them at a really low price by doing that. But if it's a matter of being able to sustain the life that you want to live, that money is absolutely there for you, and a lot of players already have taken it. So the leverage points are a lot different than they've been in the past, and I think that's an important thing to recognize when it comes to a cap. The players right now do not have the urgency that they may have in past years, and that lack of urgency, I think, is informing these discussions and these decisions quite a bit.
Now, I have to correct you with one thing. You know how I feel about you? I think you're brilliant, but when I was a little nine-year-old in 1970, I would have, you know, I rooted for CBS. You know, they own the Yankees. I had the CBS eye up in my room. That's just how I was. So
Wow. There
are some kids that root for the owners, too.
You're special.
Yeah. I had a Mike Burke poster up. That was me.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think he says you lose Cronkite, you lose the nation? You lose Cronkite, you lose K.
No, but Michael, here's the thing. You covered George Steinbrenner in the middle of his George Steinbrenner-ness.
Yep.
Like, you have seen what a truly powerful owner looks like. And when you walk around New York City back in the 1980s, did you see people wearing George Steinbrenner jerseys, or did you see people wearing Don Mattingly jerseys?
No, of course. I'm just kidding. But what I am serious about, and Jason Stark wrote a story in The Athletic over the weekend, and I thought it was powerful just in its simplicity of, is either side willing to drive the car off the cliff? Don't they realize the damage that would be done if the other three major sports play and they don't? Not because of COVID-19, but because of money. Is either side willing to do that?
So Michael, here's where I am on that. I really do believe that they're still posturing right now, that the game of chicken is still going on. But I think we're getting close to the point now where we're going to get a sense of what's really going to happen. I am genuinely curious to see what the owner's response is to the player's proposal. Because the player's proposal, while not as clearly egregiously outlandish as MLB's proposal was to the players last week, it's sort of in that, like, zip code. It's in the neighborhood, and it was not the kind of proposal that you would expect to generate the discussion where you're going to meet in the middle. The question now is, where is that middle? How do you find that middle? And who, most important, are going to be the people to guide you there to that middle? And that's what I'm having difficulty looking at right now. I believe you, and I agree with you that it makes no sense for anybody in the sport to just tank it like this, because there are countless reasons. Number one, you could be the first professional sport back. Number two, right now, you're a little worried with the NBA and NHL and NFL and college football all seemingly coming back that you're going to lose some ground in those months that are traditionally yours. So you better put your foot down and stake your claim to it as early as possible. Number three, with the collective bargaining agreement coming up in 2021, and even worse, the idea of potentially having no fans in stands in 2021 and players wanting their full pro rata for a full 162 games, that is a mess that is far worse than the one you're dealing with right now financially. And if you want to have any hope of playing in 2021, you better show the ability to figure out 2020. All of these things are percolating at the same time, which makes it that much scarier when you consider what they have to do in short order.
Well, my last question had the buzzword leadership. This question is leadership. The last buzzword that I had was trust. Now it's leadership,
yep.
Right? Owners leaking things out, players not being able to shut their mouth. Clark and Manfred, are they the right leaders, or does somebody else have to step up? Is there a player, is there an owner that can stand up and just grab the ear of their base and convince them the right thing to do is to get something done?
Well, I think we have to look at who Tony Clark and Rob Manfred report to. Rob Manfred doesn't report to one owner. Rob Manfred reports to 30, and he needs to have as many of those owners on his side as possible to maintain his job. That's just the job of the commissioner in 2020 right now, and it's not like in the past where the commissioner was seen in a lot of cases. I mean, probably the last time it was Bart Giamatti, but even Bud Selig, to some extent, had his own ability to go out and if nothing else, like serve as a whip in Congress, you know, somebody who could play that political game and get people on his side. Rob Manfred is more somebody who goes and does the bidding of his bosses, and it's something that has behooved him very well. But this situation, you're right, it calls for stark leadership, and it calls for the same with Tony Clark, somebody who there has been questions about for years now, both inside the union and over at MLB. Is he the right person for the job? This is where these two can make their bones, guys. If these two can come to some sort of an agreement and figure something out that is best for the sport and do so quickly so they can get back by the 4th of July weekend like everybody wants to, then you know what? Maybe we look over and say, okay, they fought. They negotiated, they argued, but ultimately they got baseball back on the field. If they can't do that, what does that say about the confidence people are going to have inside of both the union and among owners? Is that going to be something that ultimately can doom them? And I think they recognize that as well. These are intelligent men. These are people who understand the dynamics that are going on right here, and as much as they want to do this for the people who are their bosses and for the fans and for the game, there is a measure of self-interest in there as well as there would be with just about anyone.
Tom, with our very own Jeff Passan here on the Michael Kay Show, before we let you go, because I know you're busy today, the thing that has struck me throughout all of this, the negotiating in public, which I think is completely offensive to everybody with the country.
Michael, can I jump in for a second here?
Yes.
Just to give you a sense about that, I knew two nights ago that the players had a conversation and were getting a proposal ready to fire off to the owners.
Right.
I spoke with probably half a dozen players who were on that call, and none of them would give me anything. I mean, there was a strict, do not talk about this proposal until it is delivered to the owners. We do not want this leaking out. And I have gotten the same thing, actually, from MLB and from owners and from teams over the last week or so, too. They are doing a much better job of keeping things quiet before the proposals get delivered. Just for whatever that's worth, the leaking has calmed down a little bit.
Okay, so let's even take the leaking aside, although at the beginning there was leaking. The stuff they leaked out to Joel. Mm-hmm. The Washington Nationals are owned by the Lerner family, who are worth $5.3 billion, and they want to cut $100 a week from players, minor league players. And then Sean Doolittle and his teammates step up and we'll make up for it. And then they change their mind. Jeff, how tone deaf can these people be? What's going on? Can't you see? You have $5.3 billion. What is that $100 a week going to mean to you?
That, Michael, is how a lot of teams are treating this right now. It's why the Oakland A's gutted their baseball operations department and are not paying minor leaguers for the rest of the year. It's why the Los Angeles Angels gutted their baseball operations department. It's why other teams have not committed to paying their employees through, you know, past June. It's why when you look at a team like the Kansas City Royals, which are not cutting any minor leaguers, which are paying them in full the rest of the year, which are keeping their employees on and giving coordinator level and higher employees slight pay cuts and promising to pay that back by next year, whatever money they gave up right now, because they're expected to be better revenues next year. You look at the Royals as the anomalous team, Michael. Shouldn't they be the regular average standard team?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't that be the expectation of people who are in these positions where the game has absolutely enriched them? And by the way, John Sherman, the Royals owner, has owned the Royals for less than 6 months now. So this is not somebody who's had a long-term vested interest in the game. This is just somebody who wants to do right by his people and by his employees. And that's the sort of thing, Michael, that people remember. That's the sort of thing that gives people loyalty to organizations. If you're somebody who works for the Angels or the A's or who's ever going to consider doing that going forward, don't you have a second thought and ask yourself, hey, remember what happened when the world felt like it was falling apart?
But the thing with Artie Moreno, though, he's a very wealthy man. And
yes,
you know, the draft isn't even here yet. And you fired your scouts who have proprietary information. They could go to, you couldn't wait until at least the draft took place. It doesn't make sense, Jeff.
No, it doesn't make sense at all, Michael. But unfortunately, there are some people who live in this world where what they do does not have consequence. The only consequential thing to them is what the spreadsheet tells them and whether it's black or red.
There's
a lot of red going on spreadsheets right now. And I understand how disconcerting that can be to somebody who's livelihood is tied up in a business, but if you've got a net worth that has three commas in it, then there is a duty to treat your people well. And I understand there are going to be folks out there who say, you know, net worth is different than liquidity. Yes, I'm aware that net worth is different than liquidity. I'm also aware that somebody who has a net worth in the billions is able to go and get cash to pay employees in the middle of a pandemic when it feels like the entire nation's going to burn down. Sorry to be that guy, but I'm not going to apologize for it. I really don't feel like that is a harsh or ridiculous or excessive moral stance to treat people who have built your organization up to what it is the right way when everybody is fearful of what comes next.
Jeff, I'll tell you what, three commas is usually a very good safety net.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm okay just getting to two commas. Like, get me to two commas, I feel great. Three commas though, like there's a lot of good that you can do. And I just wish people would recognize that doing good first is never, and I mean never, the wrong thing to do.
Well, I'm going to pay you the ultimate compliment right now. Might be the wrong time to do it. If you don't have two commas per year for what you do for ESPN, underpaid, my friend. Underpaid. How about that?
I appreciate the sentiment very much. I'm going to have to clip this tape and send it to Bristol.
You got it. Good stuff, Jeff. Thanks a lot, man.
Take it easy, boys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you. And now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current and Mac customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites. Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to 2 monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-1-20.